Ringo?
Yipes.
I don't know.
Look at Ringo.
He's hiding.
It wasn't his office.
Chairman. No, he's running around as chairman.
Well, we're discouraging slow talk.
You can take a roll call vote. Like,
but not slow thinking, Mr. Chairman. Not slow thinking. We're encouraging slow thinking.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, but for the record, my name is Pat Egan, Legislative Director for Governor Kulongoski. I want to thank you for the opportunity to hear this bill on such short notice. We obviously are in support. We had a substantial vote yesterday. We see this as a very substantial and beneficial piece of Oregon's economic recovery, and ask for your support. We have worked with all parties involved here, and very much appreciate that support. Just want to state that for the record, and we'll work very diligently to move it as quickly as possible, and thank you for your indulgence.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Scott West, Oregon Lodging Association, and as being one of the stakeholders that have worked diligently over the last many months on this, we certainly concur with the governor's office on the hard work and the conclusion of those efforts recently over in the House, and certainly would encourage your support also.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Todd Davidson, and I have the privilege of serving as the Executive Director of the Oregon Tourism Commission. I do have some prepared comments this morning to this afternoon to talk, to the bill and the discussions on House Revenue Committee, and I would ask for the chair's direction to review those discussions that occurred on the House side, if you were so inclined.
Let me ask the committee where their inclination is. I feel comfortable with everything I've learned on this bill and the hard work that y'all put in the House to get it to this point where most parties at least wanted to see it go forward. Committee?
You don't need to talk on my behalf.
I'm a no, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to move the bill to the table if you'd like me to make a motion to table the bill.
That is okay. We only have four of us here, so we'll hold off. But
just one comment, Mr. Chair.
Please.
This institutes a 1% statewide lodging tax. Is that correct?
That is correct. One of the elements of the bill is that it will institute a 1% statewide lodging tax.
So 1% is good, 2% is better?
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, answering for the lodging industry of the state of Oregon, we believe that 1% is the appropriate assessment. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think it's actually worthwhile to state for the record, and I covered this in my testimony before the House. I think one thing, and there's been a lot of things that's been some amount of disagreement around on this bill, one thing there's absolute agreement, I think, on, and that is that the 1% that's identified that Senator Starr just referred to is in a lockbox, so to speak. It is for tourism promotion. That is our intent. I believe that's the intent of all parties involved here on a statewide basis, obviously, as it's referenced in the legislation. But there's been a lot of concern about money coming out for other purposes, and I don't believe, I think I can speak for just about all parties involved here, that the intent here is that that stay in that form. So, to your question.
Senator Starr? Since we have time here and we're waiting for members, I'll ask another question. The distribution of these dollars on a statewide basis per formula, I know the tax is going to raise a certain amount of money. Is it going to benefit just the coast that's got a lot of tourist activity, or is it going to benefit just the valley, or how do you anticipate the benefits of this to be spread across the state?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Starr, to your question, and I will also allow Mr. West to add any additional comments, but the way the 1% statewide lodging tax dollars are allocated in the bill are that at least 80% of the revenues received from the 1% statewide lodging tax are dedicated to the Tourism Commission statewide marketing program. Up to 15% of the statewide lodging tax revenues will be going back to the regions in Oregon on a pro rata basis. So we anticipate that at the 15% level, that would equal approximately $1 million a year that will go back to the tourism regions in Oregon to carry out their regional marketing programs as well.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Farrelly.
On a pro rata basis, obviously by population, so 70% of that money will stay in the metropolitan area.
Mr. Chair, Senator Farrelly, the pro rata basis is not per capita. It's pro rata based on how the tax revenues are collected within that tourism region. So on the basis of the dollars, the way they're collected within the defined tourism regions is the formula that they will be returned to the region. So to your point, it would perhaps be approximately 33% that's collected in the Tri-County region of Oregon, approximately 20% on the coast, et cetera.
So certainly if we look east-west of the Cascades, on a pro rata share for the hotel motel rooms available, I would think I would be low in estimating 70% of the money would be spent west of the Cascades.
Mr. Chair, Senator Farrelly, I can't give you the exact number at this point. You may be accurate that approximately 70% may be west of the Cascades. Some may argue that those with more rooms may need additional resources in which to fill a greater number of rooms. But your fact still stands at approximately, and I don't have those percentages in front of me. I can certainly provide you with those, knowing that roughly 33% in the Tri-County area, about 20% on the coast, it may work out to about 70% west of the Cascades.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further questions for the panel? Thank you very much. Michelle Deister, anyone else want to testify? We'll do a public hearing today and come back for a work session later.
Say Tuesday, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we'll see what happens. We probably need to move this bill soon.
Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Revenue Committee, for the record, I'm Michelle Deister with the League of Oregon Cities. The bill before you is a real improvement over 2267 as drafted, and I would like to say for the record that we really appreciated the House Revenue Committee's time and attention that they gave to our concerns and amendments and the good discussion that they had with regard to the provisions of this bill. We worked hard to ensure that the bill would work at the local level. We needed the flexibility not only to attract tourists, but to accommodate them once they got to our communities. Bond Council had brought to our attention some suggestions for several small technical clarifications as they might relate to financing of tourism-related facilities. However, it's our understanding that due to the lateness of the hour, there really is not the time or the inclination to take those up at this time. So we would hope that this body, the legislature, would be amenable to revisiting those in the future if it turns out that those are causing problems at the local level in terms of getting some of these tourism-related facilities financing. So with that, thank you very much.
Question, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Deister, can you explain what the refinancing debt of tourism-related facilities is?
Mr. Chair, Senator Farrelly, it's my understanding that that may have to do with facilities that are financed originally but refinanced. The balance is refinanced through and perhaps backed by lodging tax or other sources of revenue. I think that's what that particular provision relates to. And it may have, I know that there was a discussion about this in the 2001 legislative session, and that is language that might have been inserted at that time. I mean, in the draft of the bill that came forward in the 2001 legislative session. So,
okay. Perhaps some of the other proponents can explain what the refinance provisions do.
Refinance provisions. Come on up. Both of you, come on up.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Marge Kafouri, representing the City of Portland. I didn't hear the question, but I think it had to do with that particular section of the bill that had to do with...
I'll be happy to restate the question. One of the amendments in the bill indicates that this is for tourism-related facilities, for city and county services, or for cost to finance or refinance the debt of tourism-related facilities.
And so I guess it's my impression that the reason you'd refinance a debt on a tourism-related facility is to lower the rate. Mm-hmm. But why would you need additional money to lower the rate on a debt that you've already got? If you have a lender that is willing to lend at a lower rate, what do you need more money? I mean, is this money to pay finder's fees for the loans? Or I mean, why do you need an infusion of cash to refinance an existing debt?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Farioli, this particular provision was put into law in the last legislative session. It relates specifically to an arrangement that the City of Portland entered into with the Lodging Association within the City of Portland for expansion of the Convention Center and for construction of PGE Park. The refinancing language was put in there to allow us the flexibility to continue to use those dollars should we need to if we refinance at a more favorable rate. It's just a pro forma blessing of the arrangement that we had between the Lodging Association and ourselves, Multnomah County and Metro, about all of those facilities that we used the additional 2.5 cents of lodging tax for.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I have an additional concern now, which is that I think these the proposal has been marketed to citizens as a way to create dollars to promote tourism. It seems that these now are dollars to create a vehicle for refinancing existing debt. And I was a no before, so that hasn't changed my opinion, but it just seems to me that authorization of refinancing of existing debt wouldn't necessarily need an infusion of new capital. It seems like you'd find a lender that has a lower rate and borrow the money.
Could I clarify that, Mr. Chairman? Senator Farioli, I think what we're talking about is the amount of lodging taxes that a city has already raised. As I understand it, this bill is really applying to new revenues that would be raised by additional lodging taxes.
Right. And I guess, again, my point stands, Mr. Chairman. The new revenue, in my mind, was to be dedicated to tourism promotion, but apparently the new revenue is going to be used possibly for refinancing existing debt.
Yes, so why include that provision?
It's a carryover from the bill in the past. I think it applies to the revenues that we're already raising at the City of Portland.
But why would you need it in this legislation?
Well, I'm not precisely sure. I think I haven't been involved with this legislation, Mr. Chairman, at all. The city has not been involved with this legislation. So as it has evolved, I'm not sure what got carried forward from the last legislative session and what became the foundation of the legislation that is before you now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Other questions for this panel? Mr. Egan.
Thank you, Senator Deckard. Again, for the record, my name is Pat Egan. Thing I just wanted to state for the record was a concern that's been raised by the league relative to issuance costs and the administrative costs when a tourism-related facility is financed. One of the questions that's been raised by their bond counsel is that the bill, as it's currently drafted, does not explicitly state that the administrative costs for issuance of debt to finance a tourism-related facility are not explicitly put in the bill to be capitalized. In talking with them and in talking with actually both of the primary parties, I guess, to the negotiation, I think there's an agreement as far as legislative intent goes, because the bill doesn't have to define it explicitly. But as long as there's something in here for the record that essentially says we can capitalize they can capitalize, because this is on the local level, the administrative costs relative to issuance of debt, that's how we read it, and I think, I don't want to speak for Larry, but I think he has similar view as with the league. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Larry Campbell, representing the Oregon Lodging Association. I'll make two quick comments. One is I agree with the statement that Pat has just made in reference to the bonding. Secondly, I'd like to respond to Senator Farioli, because he is right. The difference is that he's talking in terms of local dollars that are raised by local tourist tax. And that really is not a concern that we have for the 1%. The 1% indeed is going to do what we're telling the people the state of Oregon is going to do. It's the economic development engine that we're really looking for. And one of the reasons that the city of Portland or the refinancing was included is because they were concerned, because basically what we were trying to do is guarantee that all local taxes would end up going to tourism development. And you know that that was one of the major compromises that was made through this whole process on local collection of tax. So your point of concern was legitimate. It's far as the local taxes are concerned, that does not really apply to the statewide tax that really is the impetus behind this bill. And with that, would you give us a courtesy vote to the floor, Senator Perry?
I will not.
I guess last thing I would say, and this is a bit of a commercial, Senator Deckard, this is definitely a priority for the governor. I think the unanimous vote out of the House Revenue Committee and the 51-day vote yesterday is a testament to the level of compromise that all parties put in there, and that the core interest for us is to market Oregon and all the wonderful assets that we know exist. I just want to thank, for the record, the level of compromise. It felt like the Mason-Dixon line a lot of times in this one. And I know all parties have a lot of explaining to do with their boards, and I very much appreciate that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it took 4 years to settle the location of the Mason-Dixon line. So that's about right then, Senator Perry.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to comment that this particular piece of legislation has been going for 6 years. So it's really taking us longer than the Mason-Dixon line.
I sit corrected, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close public hearing. And do we need to adjourn or recess?
Yeah, adjourn if you don't want to hear it again today, unless you want to post again, or recess if you think people
would like to hear. Yeah, we'll recess. And recess Senate revenue. And I'll call if we're down two members. So it looks like it's going to be tomorrow. We'll stand in recess.